And thanks for joining us on another edition of Ask the Experts. I'm Dave Callender, and on this hour's show, joining me for Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, we welcome Tanya Smith, a credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling. Welcome into the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you on. I will always love having first-time guests, so we'll try and make you feel at ease. And as we discuss today our topic, living on less. Let's start off by talking about a little bit about yourselves, then maybe you can explain why you want to tackle this topic today. So who wants to go first?
I get to go first.
Okay.
It's Heather. As manager of credit counseling, we see clients with more and more debt. It just keeps increasing. And clients are using their credit cards to supplement their income. And I really wanted to challenge everybody where they can improve with their spending, to look at every place where they spend and where they can get better. And I've been at Mosaic for about 10, 11 years. Fascinating job, a great place to work.
Okay, I guess that means it's your turn now, Tanya.
Okay. My name is Tanya, and I have been working for 4 years at Mosaic Counseling and Family Services in the Credit Counseling Department. My background is actually working in social services, so it's a new career for me. It's been a wonderful way to connect with the community and support the needs of this community.
Well, as I said, our focus today is going to be living on less, and I think we all would like to be able to do that, but we're not all that great at doing it, so maybe today we can discuss some really good tips on how we can do that, but there must be a reason why you wanted to talk about this topic today. So what's going on here in Waterloo Region right now?
I get to see clients, or our whole office gets to see clients, with about $14 million worth of debt. The debt load is just expanding. My average client probably has about $35,000 worth of debt. Their income may be pretty well the same. And again, what we're doing is just trying to promote good habits and being a smart consumer.
How did we get here, though? When your clients come in, just a typical story, how did they manage to get $35,000 worth of debt?
Good question. There's a whole variety of different ways. It's not, one situation. Somebody may lose a job, may get injured, maybe using just their income or their credit cards to supplement their income. There's really no one situation. There's a whole bunch of them. We can work on those, what the causes of if they're preventable. But what we usually try to focus on is where they can improve, what things they can do better.
All right. Now, you said clients with over $14 million worth of debt, and that's just here in our region.
Yes.
Across Canada, it's a huge problem. So people are probably thinking, with all this debt and everyone's in debt, what can an average person do?
I think the average person can really start a budget. Stick to a budget, really be a smart consumer. When I talk budgeting, I usually say there's three steps to do a budget. One is to set goals. The second is to track every place where you spend your money. And the third thing, to reevaluate where you are spending those monies at. Now, I don't start when I'm teaching budgeting on the goals, because goals are those New Year's resolutions that we all never accomplish. What I start everybody doing is by telling them to figure out every place it is that they do spend their money at. Track everything. If it's in a little book, if it's by keeping receipts, whatever it is, to figure out every place they spend money. My learning experience with this was coffee, morning coffee, how much it actually comes to over a whole year. And if, you spend over $1,000 a year on coffee, could you change it? Mm-hmm. And, what would you do different? And I may want to take a trip. I may want to travel. So instead of spending money on my coffee or other bad habits, well, maybe not even bad habits, just other choices, I want to take that money and put it towards my goal of traveling. And really, that's what a basic budget is. The only wrong way to do a budget, spend more than you make.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Can I speak to tracking just a little bit?
Sure.
Excuse me. I think that when I speak with my clients, I often will promote tracking as one of the most important parts of budgeting, because we frequently don't know exactly where our money goes. We all know how much our rent is. We all know how much our phone bill is, our insurance, et cetera. But what we frequently don't know is how much we're spending on recreation, clothes, car repairs, coffee, eating out, buying presents, you know, because these are more irregular expenses, and so people frequently don't have that awareness, particularly when it's a habit like coffee, where, you know, it's just part of your ritual, something that you're doing every morning.
All right. Well, creating a budget, great first step. And I think a lot of people have never done that before. The entire idea of creating a budget is kind of foreign to them. And I don't know about you, but when I was going to school, I don't think I ever, even in a high school, was taught how to do a basic budget. Do they do that in high school now?
Unless you learn it from your parents, you're probably not going to learn it at all.
All right, well, creating...
And I was going to say, hopefully your parents have good habits, because if your parents have bad habits, you're going to fall into exactly those things. Assessing how your parents manage money, what's good and bad about it, and where you can improve.
So creating that budget is important, but if you're someone who's already gotten themselves into quite a bit of debt, just creating the budget might not help completely. You might need some extra tips on how do I get rid of the debt. I mean, I can track everything, but where does the debt go now?
Excuse me. There's a number of options for dealing with debt. Many people aren't aware of, for example, how much the interest is that they're paying on their credit cards, lines of credit, loans, etc. So I encourage people to really have a look at the interest rates that they are paying, and try to only use those low interest credit cards. I always encourage people to make more than minimum payments. When we're making minimum payments, it makes it really difficult for us to get out of debt, because the minimum payment it rarely covers the interest payment on the debt. Therefore, making that minimum payment, the debt just continues to grow no matter how much money you throw at the debt.
One of the things everybody should notice on their bank credit card statements, now there is a line saying how many years and how many months it will take to pay off their credit cards. That's a wonderful bit of information. And, if you read that statement and it says it's going to take 72 years to get rid of your debt, you really have to change your spending habits to get that paid off before then.
All right. Now, you also mentioned a moment ago about being a smart consumer. That's a great way to start as well. I'd like to think I'm a smart consumer most of the time, but maybe you can tell us, what are the ways that you see that we could be smarter consumers?
Actually, let's take food.
Okay.
We can start on food. The amount of waste that the average person has, from their fridge, eliminating that, not throwing out all sorts of food. Things like eating food that's in season. Are really two great tips, because if they're in season, they are at a lower cost.
And if they're local, it's probably more affordable as well. Many local options in our community. Waterloo Region is just a hotbed of local fruits and or not so much fruits, but vegetables seasonally. Using the farmers market, joining CSAs such as community supported agriculture programs. Buying directly from the farmer is one way to really reduce costs, for sure. Buying in bulk is an option. Buying on sale. When something's on sale, buying a few extra things as well.
I know personally one of the best things I did was buy a freezer. So I can buy in bulk, and then I can turn around, repackage it into something small enough that I can use, and pull it out whenever I need. Something as simple as that can save a whole lot of money.
Supplementing food by growing your own food seasonally is a fantastic way to not only eat locally and healthy, but quite affordably too.
And then we get to learn how to can and preserve. I have a closet, not clothes. It's got food in it because, I've canned some stuff. And, buy in bulk, bought rice in bulk, bought different foods in bulk. And I guess all of this is, I want you to challenge yourself. You said you are mostly good. Let's get really good. And, why use that money for food when you can make economies there? Use it for the things that you want to do.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, from Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling. If you'd like more information as you listen to the show, go online to mosaiconline.ca. You can also give them a call at 519-743-6333. 833. That's it for segment number one, but there's lots more information yet to come today on Ask the Expert, so stick with us. We'll return in just a couple of minutes here on 570 News. And welcome back to the show. I'm Dave Callender. On this hour of Ask the Experts, we welcome from Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling. As you listen to the show, and if you'd like more information, just go online to mosaiconline.ca. Now, before the break, we were talking about some tips to help you be a smart consumer and keep on budget. We were spending some time in the kitchen, and I know, Tanya, you wanted to say something else about grocery stores.
With regards to grocery stores, I think that taking cash to the grocery store is definitely the way to go. You know, for example, if my budget is $50, that's all I'm going to take to the grocery store with me. Therefore, you know, I'm simply unable to spend more than $50 because that's all that I have. So if I go over my mark, then, you know, I have to get rid of something. Something has to be removed from my grocery pile. Same situation with a debit card. If I spend, you know, $55, you know, $60, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm just swiping and using my debit card and going over my budget and in essence letting my budget down.
Okay. Now, this is all well and good, and I love cooking at home. I do a lot of cooking at home, but every now and then you come home and you go, I don't want to cook. We have to go out tonight. Is that okay? Is it all right to go off budget and go out for dinner every now and then?
I think every now and then that is acceptable. But again, the idea is to build it in your budget. Build it into your spending plan. But if, you know, every Friday and Saturday night you end up going out, you know, pizza, wings and beer, whatever, it'll probably end up taking a large part of your budget. And my question to the clients is that where you really want to spend that money? Or would you much rather do it on a vacation? Would you much rather, or where would you rather spend that money? Actually, for that problem, I have a freezer full of food. I end up cooking too much. Best thing I did was buy a freezer. I have money. I have saved money with that freezer. I cook in bulk. I freeze stuff. And then when I do come home and I don't feel like cooking, I pull something out of the freezer, put it in the microwave. I don't know what we did before I had microwaves because it just makes life so much easier when I don't feel like cooking.
And the freezer allows you to take advantage of specials when the grocery stores have them on. You can buy a whole bunch of the one thing.
Buy a whole bunch, repackage them, and, you know, single servings, two servings, whatever your family size is. And, again, you're all prepared.
Okay. Some great tips for the kitchen. How about the rest of the house now? If we take a look where we can cut down, what tips have you got?
I'd like to start on appliances. The stove. In our case, or the oven. In our case, when I grew up, we were never allowed to start the oven just to cook cookies. We had to have a whole plan. So you turned the oven on, and there was a whole list of things that you made. Using those appliances really, really wisely. Actually, talking about appliances, too, we will have clients, you know, who will say, I'd like a slow cooker. I'd like to try slow cooker because, yes, that is a great way of, again, coming home from work and having food available. Mm-hmm. Instead of going out and buying that appliance new, borrow one. I am sure you have a friend out there who has a slow cooker who is not using it, who would be more than willing to let you borrow it for a period of time and see if it's something that fits into your lifestyle, that if it's actually going to work. You may find, you know, you really hate the bland food. You know, everything gets cooked together. That's not what you like. So why go out and spend, you know, to buy a new slow cooker when you can borrow something from someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Other great tips around the house, I usually say wash in cold water. You can save with that. And it is really worthwhile putting in energy efficient light bulbs. They will save you money. It's worth the initial investment. In the long run, your bills should be decreased.
All right. Actually, I just thought of something. I read a story not long ago about the amount of electricity we spend in the year because we leave our computers on all the time and our PVR is on all the time if you have one. All these electronic gadgets that we leave plugged into the wall still draw power even when we're not using them.
That's true.
So unplug them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it worthwhile unplugging? Okay, and this is what I say. Everybody knows some good tips. You know, challenge yourself. Where can you improve? How can you cut your hydro bill down? How can you cut your water bill down? What more things can you do to reduce the spending in one area to spend more on what you want?
All right. Cars. They're a necessary evil for most people, especially if you drive back and forth to work. But with the cost of fuel now, everyone wants to know how they can cut down on their transportation costs. Tips?
Tips. Well, gas is really expensive, isn't it? Oftentimes, many of my clients will say, well, I can't be without my car. It's not an option. They're, you know, I have to get to work. I have to get here. I have to get there. I cannot be without my car. I hear that very frequently. And really, I just challenge people to look outside of that box or the car, as it were, to find out what the other options are. You know, can you take the bus? You know, can you walk to work? Can you carpool with employees? You know, can you join, you know, Grand River Car Share? You know, start keeping track of your gas mileage and try to find ways to improve it. You know, plan out your trips, right? So if you have a day of errands, you know, sit down and take the time to really map it out and figure out the most efficient way to accomplish all the things that you need to accomplish. And ride your bike. You know, it's a lot of fun to ride your bike. It's a great way to connect with the community and get good exercise, right? Most of us sit in a desk 8 hours a day. And so adding that, you know, bicycle ride into work and home from work, I think can also, in addition to saving money, improve our physical fitness.
And Kitchener-Waterloo is really a great area for bike routes. They've made it very accessible for anybody who does want to try to get to and from work on a bike.
Okay. And I know you told me off air recently you've gone car free. At least you tried it as an experiment. How's the experiment been going?
Well, I spent the summer. I had 2 months of being car free. And it was, you know, I was really horrified at first. I thought, oh, my, how am I ever going to do this? I've had my car for many, many years. My little Honda's, you know, 14 years old. I've had it since it was new. I've driven it every day. I love it. Having the opportunity to be without it and really just be, conscious of my use of it. So I still have it in my life, but I've made a decision to be more conscious using it. So I actually ride my bike instead of driving my car to work every day. And just use the car for, you know, camping trips, leaving town, and some errand days on Saturdays. So really using it as little as possible.
Good ideas. Now, you mentioned something I had never heard of before, Grand River Car Share. What is that?
Oh, well, Grand River Car Share is it's a cooperatively owned car share program. Essentially how it works is it's collectively owned cars. You become a member with Grand River Car Share, and you have access to their fleet of cars that are located all over the city.
You just, when you need one,
it's available.
You can use one.
That's right. So it saves us from that, one person having one car all over the city. It's many people sharing one car.
I would just like to add on that in some cases, it's even maybe cheaper to rent a car on a weekend if you're going out of town. Rent a car, you know, the car share program, or even renting for periods of time. It's cheaper to do that than to own a vehicle. When you start looking at maintenance on the vehicle, basic wear and tear, the insurances, the gas, everything that goes into it, how much that costs.
As well as the depreciation of the value of the car as well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that CAA suggested that it was about $10,000 a year for us to run our cars, including the depreciation value.
That is astounding.
Right?
So yeah. Is it worthwhile to own a vehicle, or, you know, can I lease? Can I rent? Can I, again, find out what other resources are out there.
All right. And maybe use the savings to buy a bicycle.
Yes.
That's right. Yep. Or get out of debt or go on a vacation. I mean, whatever it is that our goals are, because our goals are really what's going to drive, you know, how we spend and choose to spend our money. I mean, there's certain things we have no control of. We have to pay our rent,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to pay our hydro. We have to buy food, right? So really, these are the top three things that we really, really have to prioritize. Beyond that, we have choice. And in choice, you know, we have power over how we spend that money and how we choose to allocate it.
Later on in the show, we will continue giving you some great money-saving tips that you can incorporate into your life. When we come back, though, we're going to go through some important information about the warning signs of when maybe you're starting to get in a little over your head with your debt. So stick around as we continue with Ask the Experts with my guests, Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling at Mosaic Counseling and Family Services. You can call them at 519-743-6333. And for more information online, go to mosaiconline.ca. More of Ask the Experts coming up on 570 News. And thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Joining me from Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, we're talking with Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling online at mosaiconline.ca. That's a great place to go while you listen to the show as we continue today talking about living on less and being smarter consumers. Now, it's something we probably all should do, but especially people who are perhaps getting in over their heads with debt. And it's remarkable that you don't really know that you're getting in over your head until one day it's like so obvious, but there are warning signs. So why don't we talk about the financial warning signs?
Actually, a lot of people come to us in crisis. All of a sudden, something has happened, job loss, injured, and then they make that phone call. What I'd like to do is, you know, have these phone calls before you're in crisis to start recognizing that there are some warning signs out there that as soon as you see some of those things, you can change your spending habits. I usually start by saying one of the first warning signs that you're having financial difficulties, using overdraft. Overdraft interest on a bank account. It's not as cheap as credit cards. They're usually 21, 22% for most financial institutions. And you open up a bank account, the bank automatically approves overdraft, and you live in it. So you are paying 22% on that money that you're spending or that you're borrowing from the bank in that overdraft account. One of the first signs that you're having financial difficulties, and in a lot of cases, one of the hardest to get away from because we just feel it's free money. Hasn't the bank given it to us? Second warning sign that I always talk about is when you start juggling your bills. You know, you don't pay your phone bill this month, you'll double it up next month. Or if you're in an area where, let's say your hydro bill gets billed every second month, really encourages bad habits because I can have a $300 bill and then I've got nothing. $300 bill and nothing. The idea is to balance that out. So maybe you pay $150 every month to hydro. They'll take the money. They'll put it against the account. It's not that they're going to, walk away with your money. No. And then when that bill does come in, all you do have to pay is half. Even a lot of these, the heating, your gas, your hydro, they have what's called budget billing, where you can set up a monthly amount. So, you're not getting hit by that $200, $300, even $500 bill in January or February.
Using credit cards because you don't have cash or money for everyday expenses is a sure sign that there's a problem. When we're using the Visa in the grocery store to buy food and using the MasterCard to pay for daycare or, car insurance, these sorts of things. When we're using credit because we don't have the cash, this is a sign of a problem. Again, I touched on it previously, but making minimum payments is always a sure sign that there is a financial problem. Because again, when we're making those minimum payments, it's not covering the interest charges, that debt's continuing to grow. No matter how much money you throw at the debt, it's simply never going to go down. Stress, arguments in the family, when finances become a source of difficulty, distraction at work, this is probably a sign that getting some support now rather than later is a good idea.
I also will talk about if you're charging every month more than you do pay on credit. You pay $100, you spend two. You pay $100, you spend two. It's my snowball theory of debt. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you start noticing that with your credit cards, it's time to look at, how you're using those cards. Do you have your insurance, your automatic billings going on there where you're just not going to get ahead with all of those things? So, not falling into that pattern. And another warning sign I'd like to throw out is when the bank sends you that really lovely notice, you've increased your credit rating up to the top. The bank sends a notice saying, we're going to increase your credit limit. and you know they give you another $2,000 or $3,000, that's a warning sign. Warning sign to you that they have assessed your situation and they feel comfortable that you can afford another, you know, $3,000 or $4,000. They're not the ones doing your budget. You should be the ones doing your budget. You're the one that should be in charge of your money. So just because the bank feels comfortable giving you extra cash, maybe you really want to look at that.
Mm-hmm. It's odd that you mention that because I have, you know, I think we've all gotten those letters before where it's like, we've decided we're going to put your credit limit up. And it's like, I was fine with where it was before. But then you think, well, the bank has confidence in me. I must be able to afford this.
I like to say that banks are a business. Nothing, you know, personal against banks. Banks are a business. They are in business to make money. And they do, according to, you know, their reports. But they don't need to make money on me. How can I, you know, have the bank make the least amount of money on me? Can I have a low or no fee bank account? You know, this is back to being a smart consumer. Where is my money going? And how much can I get back in my pocket to go on my trip? The banking, you know, how we're managing our money. Challenge yourself.
Tanya, are there any other warning signs we should be looking for?
I think we should always be able to name the amount of our debt off the top of our head, right? So when we have to stop and think, you know, how much do I owe? And do some mental math and look things up. This might be a sign that there's too much debt. You know, we should always be able to say right off the top of our heads, this is how much I owe. Lack of knowledge of that might be a sign of a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else we should talk about?
When you do consolidate your debts, you go into the bank, you've worked out something and the best thing that you can do really at that point is to cut up your credit cards, not keep them. The average person will keep their credit card and they'll just start using it again. You know, we've became a society where we're supplementing our income with those credit cards. So my consolidation loan just does not meet my needs, I'm going to start using those credit cards. And so that debt just increases. And not only do I have my consolidation loan now, I've got my credit cards all over again. Last warning sign that I always tell everybody about is when the collectors are calling you. All of those things that we talked about earlier have probably already happened. You may have ignored them in a lot of cases. And wait, when the creditor calls you, that's not when you're having financial difficulties. That's the very end. What things could you have done before? And really just be aware of them. Do you have anything to add?
I think really also, you know, having an understanding of the full cost of the loans that we obtain. Frequently, people, you know, don't really take the time to really fully understand the cost of the loans that they're taking out. You know, we live in a society that's very, you know, get it now, pay for it later. And usually we end up paying more for all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, frequently when we're buying things on credit, it's actually making us more broke, right? Because we're promising away our future income, right? So, you know, when we're promising away our future income, we can't even look forward to our future income because we've already promised it to our creditors.
I have a friend who says, it's not a credit card. Remember, it's a debt card.
Yes, it is.
And whenever it's a very wise friend.
Whenever I think of that, I always go, okay, maybe I shouldn't use it right now. I just have one more question about credit cards. I don't want to heap too much on the credit card companies. But when they send you the letter and says, $3,000 extra dollars of credit, do you have to accept that? Can you call them and say, I don't want that?
I did have that happen in the past, and I really had an argument getting the credit limit back down. I don't feel I need a $30,000 credit card. And the gentleman that I spoke with and argued with to get it put back down to what I felt was reasonable, you know, was really difficult. You know, I feel comfortable with this amount of credit. This is all I've got. So no, you do not need to accept. You're the one that manages the money. What do you feel comfortable with as far as a credit card goes? And, you know, maybe we will advocate one credit card because then you do know what the balance is. You know what the interest rate. It's not something that's going to get out of hand. When you're doing the 5-6 credit cards, and our average client probably has 6 credit cards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're balancing and juggling all those different credit cards, you're not going to come out ahead. So, yes, you're in charge. If you don't want a credit card or you don't want the credit card limit increase, phone them, cancel it. But it will be a challenge. I'll warn you.
Well, that's fine. We'll brush up on our arguing skills and go ahead and do that then. Some great warning signs that we should all be aware of when it comes to our money. Let's try and make it so that that doesn't happen by talking about some more tips for becoming smart consumers and controlling our money and staying in budget. Entertainment. You know, there's so many entertainment options out there. You could go buy a video game or go to a movie or go out for dinner. How do you keep it all in control? What are some cheap entertainment options we can take advantage of?
Well, you know, you could always go to the library. The library doesn't cost us anything, maybe sometimes to park, but if we ride our bikes, we can go for free. Mm-hmm. You can rent movies from the library, which is a great source of entertainment. I think that there's lots of things that we can do for free, and frequently it seems that as a society we've sort of lost touch with that, you know, because we feel like we have to spend money in order to have a good time. This concept of free fun, you know, go to the park, you know, fly a kite, you know, have an experience, go for a walk, gaze at the stars. You know, there's many things that we can do that don't necessarily cost money. You know, if you know, we can look at coupons in the newspaper, on the internet, you know, for movies and such. There's also listings of events that are happening in the community that are listed in the paper on a regular basis that are usually free or affordable options for families.
I'll second that, too. And, you know, again, contact all your friends because, you know, there's probably one that has the whole DVD collection of, you know, whatever. And they'd be more than willing to get it out of their house so their kids can't watch it for a while. So, you know, by, you know, trading. You know, the DVDs that you've got, maybe even just getting together with your friends, doing potluck lunch, you know, going back, playing cards. Again, I can remember my parents growing up and they'd always have friends over and we'd play cards with them. Board games with kids. There's all sorts, and actually you can rent board games from the library. There's all sorts of opportunities out there where you don't have to spend money. Find out.
Mm-hmm. And for all of our griping about winter, you know, the winter really offers a great opportunity for free fun, right? You know, skating, tobogganing, building snowmen, it's coming.
It's there. That's a good positive way of looking at winter because no one grumbles about winter more than I do. It's like, oh, it's back again. But we are fortunate for people who enjoy winter sports and that sort of thing. You get out there. Go make the snowman. Yeah. I haven't made a snowman in years. Mm-hmm. But maybe this year I'll finally do it. All sorts of great ideas for doing cheap entertainment. And I love the idea of, you know, just have friends over one weekend. They can have you over again the next weekend and make food at home. Why not?
Right. Yeah. And having a potluck is also a great way to fill up your fridge.
That's true, too. Leftovers.
Yes.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, we're talking with Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling at Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, as we continue our discussion today about living on less but still living well. If you'd like to get more information, go online to mosaiconline.ca, or you can give them a call at 519-743-6333. Some more great money-saving tips coming up when we return with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News. On the show today, from Mosaic Counseling and Family Services, I'm joined by Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling, online at mosaiconline.ca. Living with less is our topic today as we become smarter consumers and still have a great full life. We're just not giving away as much of our money. So we've been talking about things like entertainment, food. One of the other necessities of life, of course, clothing. Because they don't let you walk around naked, which is a good thing. So clothing savings ideas. How can we save in the clothing department?
Well, buying used is an option for clothing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a number of thrift stores in our community that always seem to be busy. Hosting a clothing swap is a fantastic way to share your clothes among your friends. You know, you bring something and everyone else brings something and you trade is a great thing. Sewing, you know, looking for affordable material in thrift stores or, you know, repurposing clothes that... you're not wearing anymore, making them into something else. Again, it's about being creative. Usually savings is about being creative.
Now, sewing is a lost art for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I actually learned how to use a sewing machine back in high school, but if you put one in front of me now, I don't think so. So maybe make it to, you know, try and find a cheap class to learn how to sew again.
Absolutely.
Actually, a lot of sewing stores do have classes that, probably are reasonably priced, where you can learn the basics. I usually say it's like driving a car. You've got a push pedal or a knee pedal and just go for it. Straight line. Practice. I learned it in high school. And, yes, it is a great way of saving money and repurposing clothes. Even being able to sew on a button. So important because, you know, why throw out an item just because there isn't a button?
Watching the clearance racks at the mall and shopping off season is a good idea too, right? If you're looking for the latest and greatest when it's in season, you're going to pay for it, right? So,
right.
You know, do your summer shopping in the winter and your winter shopping in the summer and you likely find a good deal.
Good ideas. Now, what about some do-it-yourself tips that can help you save money? Do it yourself always is cheaper.
Yes, yes.
Always.
Always is cheaper. And again, there's all sorts of really great ideas out there. Cleaning, using vinegar. A lot of people are, trying to get away from the scents. Vinegar is a clean, natural way of cleaning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that I mentioned previously, growing your own food. This is something that we can do ourselves. There's a number of different community gardens located around the city. It's a great way to get involved with community as well as being connected to the food system. Bartering, right? Finding out if you can share items with your neighbor instead of going out and buying a new doohickey when everyone on the street has a doohickey. You know, go see if you could borrow it from someone before buying it yourself. And making money on your hobbies, right? Maybe there's some talent or gift that you have that you might be able to market, make some money off of.
Now, every now and then, you can't avoid going shopping. You still have to do it. So what are some good strategies to employ when you do have to go shopping?
Number one, carry a list.
List.
When you go to a grocery store, have your list. And actually, I have it laid out in, you know, how the store is. So, you know, you have your vegetables, your fruits and vegetables. Actually, in a grocery store, going around the outside is usually where you need to purchase things. The rows in the center are the extra stuff. So carry your list, have it set up in the way the store is, and stick to that list. But remember, too, the stores are really trying to get you to buy. So there's going to be something on the end that may be on sale. Know your prices. Because, it may not be on sale, but, they've got extra stock. Let's put a great big display up and let you think it is on sale. Again, end of season sales. Gardening supplies at the end of summer. Knowing when the sales are on. I'm thinking, towels and things. Usually January or February. Actually, now would be a great time to buy Halloween things.
For next year.
Mm-hmm.
Just decorations, not the candies.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's that.
Because those won't last until next year.
They won't
last the week, actually.
Right. And then when buying new, really looking at purchasing high-quality, durable items that are going to last, right? So that you're not replacing the things that you buy, on a regular basis. I think is a good idea when shopping as well. For me, it's difficult to go into malls because sometimes it has it makes you realize all the things that you didn't even know that you needed that you now want.
Mm-hmm.
so that's where having a list becomes really, really important. Know exactly what it is that you're looking for before you head into the mall.
All right. Now, this is all well and good. You can have the best of intentions, but most of us also have a family around us. And you might be saying, yay me, I'm saving money. They may not be with you 100%. You got to keep the family happy. So how do you keep your family happy when you're on a budget?
I'm saying, first thing, be creative. If you have children, get them involved in things. They are more than likely thrilled to go skating. thrilled to go tobogganing, thrilled to make that snowman with you. You know, all of those activities that you do is really going to make them happy. The things that you do, it's not always the things that you buy. Having a baking day with your children, you know, is a great way to, again, stock up the oven. Or stock up the fridge, use the oven for, you know, a whole day, and spend quality time and wonderful times with your kids.
I think that it's important to involve our families in the budgeting process, because remember, that's where the children are going to learn about money, is from us, right? The parents. So, you know, sitting down and sharing, this is how much we have, right, to spend. We can choose to spend it by, you know, going to the movies, or we can choose it by spending to go, you know, rent movies, whatever the case may be, but involving our children in that process so that they gain an understanding.
All right.
And we're coming up to the Christmas season. You know, really looking at Christmas and what values that you want to teach to your children. So, you know, do you want it to be an all-out free-for-all that everybody gets a whole bunch of gifts? Or, you know, is it about family getting together and doing things? So maybe as a family you draw a name. Actually, I had one client who, they drew families. Instead of, they came from a great big Dutch family, and instead of drawing persons, they drew family names. So they got to buy one gift for the family. And it actually really ended up being creative, because they could make a gift. You know, they could, you know, do a movie night. They could do a whole bunch of things.
All right. We're coming up to the end of the show. It went by very quickly, but I think it's important to touch on, if someone is in trouble financially, how do they get some help?
First thing is really just to get in contact with us. Give us a phone call, 519-743-6333. You can ask to speak to the credit counseling office. And what we will do is we can do group information sessions. We will definitely, if you're looking at specifically, we will do an individual budget with you. We want you to do some work before you come in. You know exactly where you're spending your money. All the things we've talked about today, we want you to put those things into play, and then what things, more things that we need to do.
All right. And I know you do an awful lot of different things at Mosaic. Maybe you could tell us about what you do at Mosaic to help people in financial distress.
There's kind of four main things we do over at Mosaic. We do the money management counseling, so that's the group or individual meetings. We will do workshops. We're more than willing for organized groups to come out and speak about budgeting, speak about good habits. That's something that's open. We do a repayment plan also, where you can pay us and we can pay the creditors. To qualify for that, you need loads of information. Set up an appointment. And if you are really having problems with creditors, we can contact them on your behalf and try to work out some type of a payment plan.
All right. We've had some really great tips today, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. There are thousands, I assume, thousands of other ways to save money around the house, going to work, with the kids. So, as you say, get creative.
Yep. Yep. And challenge yourself.
All right. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to start with the coffee. Right off the bat, you said coffee, and I'm going, oh, I am so guilty of that. So, yes, challenge yourself. Become a smarter consumer and learn all the different ways you can save some money. And if you're experiencing any of those financial warning signs, now is the time to do something about it before they get even bigger. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
My guest today, Tanya Smith, credit counselor, and Heather Cudmore, manager of credit counseling at Mosaic Counseling and Family Services. You'll find more information online at their website at mosaiconline.ca. And if you'd like to give them a call, 519-743-6333. Thank you for listening to another edition of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.